got communion in so long. Let me get started. Let's go to work. Let's go to work. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for another opportunity to be in the service one more time. We thank you that we're able to get up and dress ourselves and feed ourselves and drive on the highways and byways and trust that you're going to give us the traveling grace that we need to make it to your house of service, to worship you with the more like-minded people. Lord, for that we say thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I am your instrument today. Use me however you see fit, Lord. I just ask that you open every mind and let every heart be receptive to what you have to say to them, Lord. Hide me behind the cross, pour me out, and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Rain down a fresh anointing on us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of you who made it here, I want to say thank you. I am going to piggyback on what Deke piggybacked on. And I'm also going to invite those in the Zoom room to come on out. There's work to be done here. We need you. We appreciate you tuning in, but we need you here. The work is here. Today, if you don't mind standing for the reading of the word, we'll be coming out of Exodus 3rd chapter. Are we in the Old Testament today, y'all? Exodus chapter number 3, verses 1 through 5. Anybody have trouble finding Exodus? Bible study is on Wednesday nights, Wednesday afternoons. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 3, 1 through 5. And it reads, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." The test came back positive. But the cancer won't consume you. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not now hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy ground." We can open the doors of the church right there. For a moment today, I'm going to root this conversation in the subject entitled, "Say My Name, Say My Name." Say my name, say my name. My daughter looking at me like, "I know you didn't just steal Beyonce title, Daddy." Yes, I did. Yes, I did. This passage is familiar to us who grew up in church or spent any amount of time in Vacation Bible School. See, Moses is in Midian tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And the Bible said that Moses led the sheep to the far side of the wilderness. But by the way, the far side of the wilderness, Moses leading them, is prophetic. For that's what he would do for the rest of his life. Isn't it interesting how God would give you a glimpse of your future? He'll let you practice your destiny. He'll give you opportunities to do little things before you do big things, to see if you can be faithful over sheep before he give you people. He sent them out in the wilderness to lead sheep when ultimately he will be out in the wilderness leading people. Despite not the days of small beginnings, So you don't see Moses complaining about the sheep. He's not calling up God complaining about the sheep, because Moses understands that the sheep are just practice. But he doesn't know for what. Now, that's a word for somebody. You're all upset about something that God gave you practice on. Huh? That's not your purpose. That's not your destiny. That's your practice. He gave you something to practice on. He gave you something to play with so you can work on your skills, so you can work on your leadership skills, so you can work on your communication skills, so you can work up on your judgment skills, so that when you get into your destiny, you won't mess people up because you've been practicing on sheep. That's what ex-boyfriends are for. That's what ex-girlfriends are for, just to get you practice for your spouse. Experience worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh itself not ashamed. Now Moses tells Jethro that I've been here long enough. I've got to go back and help my people. And Jethro has to be thinking, well, Moses, we are your people. But the truth is, Moses is not a Midianite. He's an Israelite. You see, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in Pharaoh's house. He spent the next 40 years of his life in Jethro's house. So he's been with these people a long time, and they consider Moses one of them, but he's an Israelite. And there's something on the inside of him that's calling him to go help the children of Israel. See, you must understand that Moses grew up in Egypt. So he grew up like an Egyptian. But by blood, he was a Hebrew. So he's related to them by blood, but he's not connected to them by experience. They were enslaved, and he was in the king's house. They are not the same. And even though he's not connected to them by experience, God wants him to have a broader worldview so that he can interact with people from all different parts of the world. So he takes a Hebrew boy who grew up in an Egyptian house and allowed him to be mentored by Midianites so that Moses can deal with all kinds of people. There's always a reason why God sends you through what he sends you through for preparation in your life. You might not understand it, but as my mother would say, just live. So for well over 2,000 years, we have sought to do what religion cannot do. 2,000 years, we have sought to accomplish the very thing that religion cannot accomplish. It is the presumption of faith to bring us into the presence of God. And yet, ironically, religion cannot do that. It is here then that you must understand early on in this conversation that for years we have sought to bring people to church and bring them in the presence of God, only to discover that when a man or a woman finally meets God, they are in fact meeting themselves for the first time. Moses is at a burning bush, and it is not consumed. It's burning, but it's not consumed. Whenever a bush starts burning and it's not consumed, God is after your attention. He shut down the whole world with one virus just to get your attention. Y'all doing too much down there. God said, I don't need all that stuff y'all doing. I don't need your programs. I don't need your buildings. I don't need your stained glass. I don't need your order of service. I don't need your dancers. I don't need your choirs. I don't need your ushers. I don't need your deacons. I'm gonna shut all that down and show you that I am God. I stepped out on nothing and created everything. I can do this without all that stuff you built, your conferences, your crusades, your jamborees. I don't need none of that stuff. When I get ready to do something, ain't nothing in the world gonna stop me, because I am God, and I will shut the whole world down just to get your attention. God put the whole entire world on timeout. just to get your attention. And the question still remains, can you hear me now? The pandemic was our burning bush. This bush burned in all of our hospitals and our families. It burned on our jobs and our relationships and our communities. This was a burning bush, but it's not consumed. God used this bush to get Moses' attention. And I got to be honest with you, family. He's used some bushes to get my attention also. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a burning bush. Burning bushes made me humble myself. Burning bushes made me shut my mouth. Burning bushes dropped me down to my knees. Burning bushes stopped me from talking about your kids. Burning bushes stopped me from judging you. A burning bush is stuff that happens in your life that don't make sense, and you can't ignore it. You can't stop it. You got to deal with it, and it'll make you throw your hands up, and it'll make you get down on your knees, and it'll make you talk to people you used to look down on, and it'll make you come to church to get a word from God because you got a burning bush in your life. And it doesn't have to be a pandemic to be a burning bush. For some people, a burning bush is breast cancer. For some people, a burning bush is a divorce. For some people, a burning bush is the death of a loved one. It does not have to be a worldwide catastrophic event to be a burning bush. The whole world did not know that Moses' bush was burning. And the whole world may not know that you got a burning bush in your life. It's a private display of God's insistence to get your attention. It's not for everybody. That bush is just for you. And God said, I'm gonna have your attention if I gotta get it in a wheelchair. I'm gonna have your attention if I gotta get it in a cancer ward. I'm gonna have your attention if I gotta get it at the gravesite of a loved one. I'm gonna have your attention if I have to have your children arrested. So Moses sees this burning bush, and God has arrested his attention, and he has gone over to see what in the world is going on here. God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. You're not holy, Moses. The ground is holy. The ground is holier than you are, Moses. Take your shoes off, Moses. See, what made the ground holy was that God was there. See, your living room could be holy if God is there. Your car can be holy if God is there. And the problem with some of us saints today is we come to church thinking that makes us holy. And God is saying, it's not your presence in the church that makes it holy. It's my presence in the church that makes it holy. I'm God, and wherever I am, it's holy ground. Take off your shoes, Moses. So here Moses is standing on holy ground looking for God, not understanding that God cannot be recognized. He can only be revealed. And Moses is proof that sometimes you can't go to God. God has to come to you. And the irony of God is that he is willing to be misunderstood by the many so that he could be loved by the few. You didn't just wake up one morning and decided you were going to come to God. It was God that came to you. Religion is not the ladder that we use to climb up to God. It is merely the staircase that God uses to climb down to us. He came to me. He came to you. He came to Moses in a burning bush. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father except he draws them. You missed your shout. That word draw in the Greek is stulo. It means to drag. It means to drag. Can I tell y'all what that means? It means God, it means you didn't want God. You didn't ask for God. God grabbed you by the collar and he dragged you into his presence. Is there anybody in here who can say, I didn't even want God, but some kind of way he wanted me anyway. He wanted me dead or alive. He wanted me stinking and messing over folks. He had to have me. Is there anybody in here who could say with me, who can tell the devil, I know who I am by the grace of God because he dragged me here. It is therefore my contention that long before you met the love of God, you had already met the God that loves you. He came to us. He came to us as a lion from the tribe of Judah. And he became a lamb so that lambs could become lions. The healer got hurt so that the hurt might get healed. While we were still crazy, he came to us, reached out to us, and gave us a new life. He reached all the way down into the mess to get us. Now, I know some of you praise God for a new house, and some of you praise God for a new car, and some of us praise God because we got red bottoms on, but I praise God because he reached down in the mess and pulled me up by my bootstraps. So, in the passage, it is not Moses calling out to God for a new life, but it is God calling out to Moses for a new direction. Did you hear him call the name? He said, Moses, Moses. Did you hear him call him by his name? It's the irony of God, is it not? For if I was God, I wouldn't call you by your name. If I was God, I wouldn't call you at all. I woke you up this morning, you didn't say thank you. I get you to work on time, you don't say thank you. I put food on your table, you don't say thank you. I watch over your children when you're not with them and you act like I ain't did nothing for you. If I was God, I would never call your name. This is the irony of God. In spite of our impetuousness, in spite of our malfeasance, this God calls us by our name. He calls us by our name. He don't say, hey, you with the green tie. Tony, come here. You know why you ought to be shouting right now? Because it's not important if you know his name, as long as he knows your name. You might not like me. You might not want me. You might not date me. You might not hire me. But he knows who I am. He knows where I've been. And he knows where I'm going. And I thank God today that he knows my name. Moses. Moses. Moses, Moses, it's deeper than 1,000 midnights. It's wider than the space between your ears. It's the sound of the rushing of the water, the sweet surrender of the calling out of the divine God. God called his name from the middle of a flame. And to Moses, it must have felt like all of eternity had collapsed itself into time. As the wandering murderer could no longer hide in the presence of the living God. Moses. Moses. It is the calling of a name. It is not just the calling of his name. In the years of the dispossessed, the rejected, the despised, it is an anthem of two words. It is not just the calling of a name. It is a symphony with no punctuation, an aria and four syllables. Moses. Moses. But to you, it's just the calling of a name. When I read it, you didn't clap. You didn't shout. Because to you, it's just the calling of a name. But the truth is, it is the stripping away of all pretense, the removal of all past, all present, all future. It is the tapping into the center of Moses' existence. It is not just the calling of a name. It is a correction of the many mistakes in his life. As God in that moment sweeps the past away, he sweeps his past away. You are not a prince. You are not a prophet. You are not a murderer. You are not a wanderer. In this moment in time, you are Moses. Is there anybody in here who needs God to sweep the past away? And to embrace you for who you are right now, not for who you used to be, but who you are today, in spite of what you've done before you got here? Moses, you are not a prince, you are not a prophet, you are not a liberator, you are not the oppressed or the oppressor, you are Moses. You are not a murderer, you are not a wanderer, you are not a thief, you are Moses, and I call you by your name, say my name, Lord. And it's funny to me how people try to do with their titles what they've never been able to do with their names. People like to show you their titles and their degrees, and they throw doctor on the front of it and pastor and reverend on the front of it. Now, come on, brother, put that title down for just a minute. Put that degree down and let me see who you really are without all that mess. I want to meet you. I don't want to meet your title. I don't want to meet your pretense. I don't want to meet your Gucci shoes or your Birkin bag. I don't want to meet none of that stuff. I want to meet you, Moses. I think a couple of weeks ago, I shared this on Bible study a little bit. But when my brother and my sister's father died in Mississippi, they asked me if I would do the eulogy. And I had not yet been called to preach, or at least I hadn't accepted my calling. But isn't it funny how people could see something in you before you see it? So when they told the pastor of the church in Mississippi that I would be doing the eulogy, he said, "What no unlicensed bootleg preacher gonna get in his pulpit and do nothing?" Now, this is Mississippi, the Bible Belt. So they had two other preachers there who could do the eulogy, but I was still allowed to have words from the podium. And when they introduced the other ministers, they read off their resumes. They talked about what schools they went to and what degrees they had and what they've been doing in the community. And then when they got to me, all they said was, "Here he is." So nobody knew what school I had gone to. For all they know, I hopped off the plane and grabbed the microphone. They didn't know anything about me, but when I got done with them, they knew who had sent me. Because it's not about what's on the paper, it's about knowing who you are and what God says about you. Don't ask me for my resume. I don't have a resume to show you, but I've been called by the Almighty God by my name, Moses. You might not know who I am, but God knows my name. Say my name, Moses. All I got is my name. I don't have no riches. I don't have no wealth. I don't live in a gated community. All I got is my name. When God calls us, he's not interested in what the world has said about us, because God already knows who we are. And when you don't know who you are, everybody knows it. When you don't know who you are, everybody can see it. When you don't know who you are, you walk in the room different. You sit in the pew different. People who know who they are, they hold their head upright. People who know who they are, they get their hearts broken different. They get lied on, they get talked about, they get heartbreak, but they get up in the morning and they say that this is a day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice in it. People who know who they are say, I'm glad to be in his service one more time. When God calls us by our name, he addresses us as who we are. So stop hiding behind the prisms, the misrepresentations, the descriptions of who people say you are. This is not about the discursive powers of politics or the social construction of economics. This is about you, Moses. God doesn't come to meet your credit. He comes to meet you. You. This is not about cataloging you amongst other souls. This is about you. You. So stop hiding behind your gender. Stop hiding behind your race. Stop hiding behind your class. When God calls you, he is calling you in your uniqueness in the prism of the possibilities that manifest themselves in you. It's about you. God is not interested in the deeds. He's more interested in the doer behind the deed. It's the doer behind the deeds that God is in love with. But who is this doer behind the deed? Who is this woman who works three jobs, raising three kids, staying up late at night to study and to read bedtime stories? Who is this woman? She could have gave up 5 years ago, but she refused to relinquish her dreams. Who is this woman? Who is this man? What is the nature of his devotion? What are the collections of his fears? What impulses rage through him and surge him? What pain lives in the base of his soul that he struggles to fight with that night when nobody is looking? Who is this man? Who is this woman who's so in love with being in love that she missed the idea that she deserves to be loved? Who is this preacher who stands in the pulpit? You see him come in every Sunday. You hear the words that comes out of his mouth without understanding that pain produces those words. He comes out with the word out of his mouth, but there's still smoke on his clothes because he jumped out the fire just to be here. Who is this co-worker? Who is this musician? Who is this deacon? Who is this usher? Who is this mother? Who is this grandmother? Have I gotten to you yet? Who is this friend? Who is this lover? Who is this betrayer? Who is this denier? Who is this backbiter? Who is this? Who is the one who dares to sit in the presence of the Lord? That's the one God is after. It's you. To get it, to achieve it, to find it, to arrest it, to lift it, to woo it, and to win it, God simply says, Moses. Moses. Wasn't no big speech behind it. He just called him by his name. The first thing God has to do is liberate the liberator. So that you don't answer to names that don't relate to you. You're not a tramp. You're not a thot. You're not a whore. You're not a dyke. You're not a sissy, you're not a punk, you're not a blood, you're not a Crip, you're not a Baptist, you're not a Methodist, you're not an AKA, you're not a Delta, I'm sorry, you're not a Kappa, you're not an Alpha, you're not a Mason, That's not who you are. That's the box that you've decided to fit yourself in. But that's not who you are. Those are the names you decided to answer to so that when the world comes to you, they never get to your name. They just call you by your category. And we've been so conditioned by the world to answer to our category that when God calls us by our name, we act like we don't know who he's talking to. So he has to put a bush on fire just to get your attention. But that's just how love works. It's not love if it calls you by your category. Because it wants to group you with everybody else. When it's love, it will sit in your face and call you by your name, Moses. Moses. When it's love, it will learn your name and understand your name and use your name in sacred situations, never to destroy it, never to rip it apart. But when it comes time to lift you up, love would only use your name to redirect you into what God has already called you to do. Moses. 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 Moses didn't get that name in a hospital. Moses, you didn't get that name in a hospital. You got that name in the river. Moses. Moses. You had Pharaoh's rings on your finger. You had Pharaoh's robe around your neck. But that's not where you got the name, Moses. You got the name in the river. When you were still lying amongst the alligators and the snakes, when the frogs and the flies and Pharaoh's army was coming to get you, and you could lie to everybody else, Moses, but I know where the name come from. I know where you got the name, Moses. And God wants you to know this morning that he knows where you got the name. He know why they call you Slick Daddy. Do dirty. Miss Hollywood. He knows why they call you that. He knows what you don't want other people to know. And yet he chooses you anyway. Where did the name come from? I got it from the river. Anybody else would have died in that river. Anybody else would have been consumed by the heat of that river. But you in the river, you found a way, Moses, to come up out of the river because I was with you, Moses. It was not Pharaoh's daughter that plucked you out of the water. It was me, Moses. I wrapped my arms around you. I kept the snakes from biting you. I kept the alligators from eating you. I kept the frogs from infecting you because I had a job for you, Moses. And I was going to get you to this moment. Dead or alive, come hell or high water, you are going to be my liberator for the children of Israel, Moses. God made a way for me. When I didn't know who I was, when I didn't know where I was going, I didn't know what my life was going to be, but God made a way for me. And you can take my money, you can take my cars, you can take my house, but you can't have my name. Because I got my name in the river. I got it in the hood. I got it in the miry clay. And every now and then, I don't feel like doing it anymore. Every now and then, I want to throw in the towel. But in my darkest season, late in the midnight hour, I hear a voice calling my name. He calls me when I don't want to be called. He calls me when I want to be left alone. He calls me when I want to throw in the towel. And I don't know about you, but I praise him today because he called my name. Moses. I was a liar, but he called my name. I was out of my mind, but he called my name. I was crazy, but he called my name, and I don't know you or what he calls you, but some people call him Jesus. Some people call him Yahweh. Some people call him Emmanuel, but I like what that centurion soldier called him. He said, surely you are the Son of God. And at St. Mark's Missionary Baptist Church in Ken, Mississippi, where my grandmother used to sit on the third row and give me the peppermint candy out the bottom of her purse to keep me quiet, they say it like this: hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Oh, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Moses, Moses. Say my name, say my name. I may not be perfect, but he called my name. I made some mistakes, but he called my name. He wants me, he called me, and come hell or high water, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. I don't know about you, but I'm going. Doors of the church is open. All, stand on your feet all over the building.